Mark chapter 9. Verse 17 is where we'll begin reading. Mark 9:17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Amen. When you read that story, man, that's a heart-wrenching story. If you were the father of that child, you would be in a panic, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be disturbed? Sure. This has been going on for some time since he was a child. It had been a desperate thing, a desperate situation. And when you read Mark's account of this, you can also read it in Luke. But when you read Mark's account of this, there is a lot of descriptive words that are used there to describe what this boy endured and what he went through. It is not pleasant.
No, it's not.
It's easier to read it than it would be to see it, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
First of all, I want you to think, this boy had been thrown into fire. Now, I've not been thrown into fire. I've seen people who have been in fire. You've seen somebody scarred by fire?
Yeah.
It's not pleasant.
No,
it's not pleasant. I would have to believe that this young boy, probably, you just tell by looking, that he had been through, excuse me, I don't like to say this like this, but it's hell on earth. And it's almost what it was because it was Satan himself. Satan tormenting that child. Man, I'll tell you, when you read those descriptive words, right? Descriptive words. There's a man by the name of Wagner Dodge. Wagner Dodge was one of those men that was, some people may call him brave, some people call him crazy. What he would do is he had a group of men that when there was a forest fire, they'd go up in a plane, they would parachute out of the plane and land right there at the front of the fire. They would fall right into it, and there they would fight that forest fire, burn some backfires maybe that would prevent the fire from spreading and try to contain it. I mean, that would have been pretty exciting. My fear, first of all, is the parachute going to open? Okay? Second of all, am I sure I'm not going to land in the fire? Think about that, man. You got to be pretty brave to jump out of a plane. But to jump out of a plane into a fire, that you got to be pretty brave. But his group of men, they did that. That was how they made their living. They would parachute out right into the teeth of the fire and face the fire. On this one particular time in August, they had jumped out of their plane and they were descending. And as they began to descend and they got closer to the ground, a fear began to come upon him. Everything had went perfectly smooth. Everything had been just right. All the men had made it safely out of the plane. All chutes had opened fine, and now they were descending and they were parachuting down. But as he got closer to the ground, he began to see the fire, and he began to realize that they had underestimated this fire. They had misgauged a number of things about this fire. When they landed, they got into single file and they began to march towards the fire. And the closer he got to it, the more dread and the more fear that came upon him as he began to come closer to the fire, as he began to realize the danger that they was in. And as he brought the men into a clearing, had them stand there together, and he went out and scouted a little bit. And when he came back from scouting, now he was afraid for his life. This fire, they had misjudged it in a few different ways. Normally, a fire travels about 5 miles an hour. At 5 miles an hour, most of these men could outrun the fire, and they could escape the fire. But because this fire was located in an area that was what they call the transitional area, it was coming out of a forest, out of trees, and had been burning trees, and it was coming into this, getting ready to enter into plains where there is this high grass. But in the transitional area, there's trees and this grass is kind of mingled together. And so what happens is this dead, dry grass burns so fast. And he knew once that forest fire hit that transitional area, it was going to take off. And worse, what even made it even worse was that there was a wind that was swirling, that they had misjudged it because of the gorge that this fire was in. They misjudged the wind, and the wind was pushing this fire and pushing it right towards them. And he knew that when it came out of that the forest, it was going to hit this transitional area, and it was going to take off and just overtake them. There would be no way they could outrun it. No way. He looked at his three options that he had, and all three of them spelled death. He was afraid for his men. He was concerned. And so they began to make their way out. And sure enough, in just a few minutes, that fire came into that transitional area and it just exploded and took off. He had just a matter of seconds to make a decision on what he should do. His men watched him as he reached into his pocket and pulled out a match. Oh, yeah, that always helps in a fire. Pull out a match. He pulled out a match. And he lit that match, and he lit the grass in front of him. And it immediately, on the dead, dry grass, took off, and the wind carried it. And it began to spread into a big circle. And these men were thinking, you are crazy. Now we've got fire behind us. Now we're confronted with fire. And we don't have any escape. This man, Wagner Dodge, he backed up, he came running, he jumped over that ring of fire and landed in the middle of that fire. He took out, with only seconds to spare, he took out a wet cloth, wrapped it around his face, laid down face in the ground, and began to pray as he waited for that fire. And just in seconds, that fire overcame. Because what happened was he got into that circle where that grass had burned out. And when that forest fire came, it leaped over where he was at. It burnt all around him. But in that one little circle where he was at, he was spared. That day, many of his men died. There was a few men that escaped and in a similar fashion as he did. But he escaped because he burnt a hole in the middle of a fire. Now think about that. He burnt a hole in the middle of a fire. Now most people wouldn't, guys like that, they've got to be crazy. They've got to be crazy, right? But when I read this story, and I read about this father with this child, and read the descriptive terms that are applied to this child, can I read them? Can I just look at them with you for real quickly here? First of all, it says he was a dumb spirit. The spirit that was on him had taken his ability to speak. He could not express his feelings. He could not express what he was going through. He could not put it into words. He could not tell Dad what he was feeling. It was a dumb spirit that was upon him. Notice it says it teareth him. First of all, it says it taketh him. It takes a hold of him. It gets a hold of him. It teareth him. It begins to rip him apart. He foameth. I know that's kind of gross. But he was actually foaming at the mouth. He gnashed with his teeth. You can look that up however you want to, whatever you think about gnashing of teeth. But I think it's like a grinding of his teeth. Grinding of teeth is a symbol of a pain, of hurting. He was in such pain and such agony that he was clenching his teeth and grinding his teeth together, okay? Gnashing of teeth. This boy was suffering. The Bible says he pineth away. He would just fade away and almost act as if he was dead, faint. It goes on, it says, and I brought him to them and straightway, he says, he began to describe how he was cast into the fire. That's never pleasant. And he goes on, he says, and he cast him into waters, trying to drown him. How many of you have ever thought you were drowning? Okay? Yeah. In the bathtub that one time, man. No. If you've ever thought you were drowning, that's a terrifying experience. That is a terrifying experience if you have ever thought you were drowning. This boy was being thrown in the water. The devil with that devil was trying to drown him. To drown him. He would go into the waters, and it would seek to destroy him. This boy was in pitiful condition. And then even while Jesus is speaking to him, this devil shows himself. And he casts him down. And he begins to tear at him again. And he begins to roll around and wallow around on the ground as this devil is trying to destroy this child. And this father cries out to Jesus, "Help me. Whatever you do, help me. If you have compassion on what I'm going through, help me." He felt helpless in the situation. He realized there was nothing. I'm sure he had already tried to do all that he could do. He had probably tried everything he knew to try to save this child. But he realized it was a hopeless situation. He needed help. And he cried out to Jesus, cried out to the Lord for the Lord to help him. Man, first of all, I want you to notice that there is a predator here. This man recognized that there was a predator. This father recognized what it was. This father recognized that there was a devil that was seeking to destroy his child. He recognized that there was an enemy that wanted to destroy his child. Can I tell you, do you realize? Do you understand that there is an enemy that is seeking to destroy not only your children, but he's wanting to destroy your marriage, your family, your home, your life. He wants to destroy you. Recognize there is an enemy, a predator, that is out there to destroy you. He has come what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. Amen. He wants to destroy your life. Satan will do whatever he will wants to do to destroy your life. And listen, the thing I notice here, he is without mercy. He is without mercy. Amen. He does not just pull back. He does not feel sorry for you. He does not feel, you know, say, well, this poor person, I feel so sorry for them. I'll take it easy on them. No, he wants to destroy you. He is without mercy. He does not care if it's a child. He does not care if it's a loving family. He does not care if you have a good marriage. He does not care if you're trying to do good and trying to do best. If you're putting your best foot forward, he does not care. This enemy is without mercy. He is without mercy. When you read that description there, let me tell you, there is no way you can call this a merciful enemy. He is not there to take prisoners. He's there to destroy. He's not there just to cause discomfort. He's there to destroy. He don't just get satisfied with just creating trouble, but he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy. And when he attacks with everything. He holds back nothing. And he seeks to destroy without mercy. This father, he saw it firsthand, the destruction of an enemy. He saw how merciless this enemy was as it ripped his child and threw him into fire, threw him into water. Amen. Tore at him. And took a hold of him. And it's a horrible, that's a bad deal. Sad. Sad. We're living in a day when we need to recognize that we have an enemy. We have an enemy. We have a predator that is out there. We have a predator, and we need to be aware of what it is that he is trying to do. He wants to destroy. He wants to destroy. And Tiger Woods. Most of you probably are familiar with Tiger Woods, great golfer. And but when Tiger Woods was 9 months old, his dad went and cut off one of his old golf clubs and cut it down and made it size for him at 9 months old so that he could swing a golf club. At 18 months old, he was taking his Tiger to the driving range at 18 months old. To the driving range, all right, to hit golf balls at a driving range. He would stand, as Tiger began to grow older, when he was 4, his father began to coach him. His father would put him in the backyard and give him a golf club and golf balls, and his father would stand in front of him and say, I'm a tree, hit it over my head. When I read that, I thought, you know what I was thinking, right? Dad, I just got spanked last night, and you want me to hit the golf ball over your head. You didn't let me go running with my friends yesterday. I didn't get what I wanted at Walmart yesterday, and you want me to hit the golf ball over your head. I'll try. Whap! Oh, Dad, I'm sorry. I tried. Oh. Can you imagine? He's standing there, wanting his son to hit the golf ball over his when he's 4 years old. When he was 6 years old, his father entered him into a junior golf tournament at 6 years old. Tiger's dad gave everything for Tiger to be a golfer. He did everything to make him into that golfer. He spent time with him. Spent money on him, diligently practiced with him. And his thing was, he said this, Tiger Woods' dad said, golf should go to church and thank God for my son and what he's going to do for golf. You know, we know the rest of the story on Tiger Woods. Not turned out as quite as good as what they had probably hoped. Can I tell you, people do a lot of crazy things for their kids. Sure, that's right. When they're young, they'll go all out for them. Yeah. They want to make them into the best. Yeah. They want to make them into something that is great. Amen. But what we got to realize is we need to protect our children. Amen. We need to protect our children from the enemy that seeks to destroy them. Amen. It's not to make them into a success. Protect your child. Protect your family. Protect your marriage. Amen. Because there is an enemy that wants to destroy your home today, your family, your marriage. Do all that you can right now to protect it. To protect it. Amen. These disciples, they could not cast this devil out. They did not have a remedy for it. And they asked Jesus later. They said, what do we do? What do we do? And Jesus said, you must pray and fast. There needs to be some dedication and commitment here. You need to pray and fast if you want to see deliverance. Amen. I believe that we need to realize we have an enemy. Amen. That's seeking to devour our family. And it is like a fire that is closing in upon us. It is like a fire that has encircled us and is about ready to destroy us. And our only hope is that somehow we can burn, amen, a safe haven in the middle of the fire. Amen, that somehow we can create, amen, a void somewhere, amen, in the midst of the attack of this enemy that will preserve our family. Amen. How do we do that, Brother David? How do we do that? Amen. First, pray and fast. Pray and fast. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe it will burn a hole in the fire. Amen. A place of preservation for your family. You cannot go about this nonchalant. You cannot act like it's not serious. You must realize this is serious. Serious. I was doing some looking on YouTube at some trapping of coyotes. And that led me to trapping of foxes. That led me to, a few weeks ago, talk about little foxes, spoil the vine. I was looking at those, and what these people were trying to, had called this company in to trap foxes out of their backyard. And the reason why they had wanted them to trap these foxes was that they had seen them, they'd been out, they'd see them in the backyard, they'd got brave, they began to come in and they began to eat the dog food. They got to be braver and they'd come up and they'd come right up into the house, right around the yard. And then, but what made them start call this company to trap these foxes is one of them tried to drag off one of their children. They had little kids that were playing in the backyard, and a fox tried to drag off one of their kids. Listen, the fox is out there. Amen. The predator is there. Right. Amen. Let's realize what's going on here. Satan is there. Right. Satan is there, and there is an attack of the enemy. Amen. The fire is closing in. Amen. And what we need to do now is we need to protect our family. Are you going to rely on society to protect your family? Read Dr. Bennett's book about the moral value of our nation today and the decline of our morals in our country. If you're relying on society to save your child, amen, you are going to fail miserably. Amen, you need to call out to God and pray and fast. God, save my family. Save my children. Save my marriage. Amen, this fire's closing in. Amen, society will not do it. Man, maybe you're one of those like Hillary Clinton that believes it's going to take the village. You're counting on the village to do it. No, you know, her book, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. No, it don't take a village. It takes God. It takes the hand of God. Amen. The village can't protect it. The village can't save us. The village can't preserve us. Amen, I look around and I see our community. Amen, it's already being consumed by the fire of the enemy. It's closing in. God, help us. God, help us. You're going to rely on government? Oh, they'll take care of my kid. I'll send him to a government school where they don't allow prayer, don't allow Bible reading, don't allow the Ten Commandments, take down every picture of Jesus or Moses, of any Bible character that's there, right? And then on the other hand, they teach homosexuality. They do not teach abstinence. And they promote anything otherwise. So yeah, maybe the government's what we need to do. Let's rely on the government for our children. I don't think so. I don't think so. Hey man, I say, God help us to preserve our family, to preserve our children. And the only way we can do it is somehow, Lord, is to burn a hole in the fire. Amen. Burn a hole in the fire and shelter our family. And we can only do it by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Amen. It takes God. This man, what do you think? What do you think he tried before he came to Jesus? Do you think he tried doctors? I'm sure he probably did. I'm sure he did. You know what? He probably tried everything he could do on his own. Maybe he tried to shelter his child. Maybe he tried to keep him away from things. And I'm sure he tried to keep him away from water and fire. You know? I'm sure he did that. But I'm sure he tried to shelter him the best he could, but the devil had a hold of him. Amen. There's one other thing. And this man had the answer. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Man, he tried everything else. He tried the church. The disciples. You know that? You read that? He tried the church. Church is good, but it won't save your child. Okay? Church is not just the all-in-all answer. There is parents, they send their kids to church, thinking that's going to be the solution. But then when they come home, they come home to an ungodly home. They come home to a home of violence, wickedness, of every type of trash that you can imagine. Oh, we're going to send our kids to church when our kids go to church. Church ain't the answer. Amen. It takes something more than that. There's people that come to church. They're faithful to a church. They're faithful to church, and if you ask their pastor, they're there every Sunday morning. They're faithful to church, but their family's getting burned up. Their family's being destroyed, but they go to church. So that's not where it's at. Amen. We need God. We need to call out on Jesus. Say, Jesus, save us. Jesus, save us. Amen. The fire's closing in. And God, I want my family to be saved. I want my children saved. Amen. I look around at our world and I'm telling you, amen, it feels like the world is on fire and it's closing in. Amen. There is wickedness everywhere we turn. There is, when you say, well, it don't happen in my neighborhood. It is everywhere we turn. Amen. Wickedness. You can say, it don't happen in our school. It's everywhere we turn. There is wickedness. You can say, well, it don't happen in our neighborhood. Yes, it does. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. God help us. We need to call out on the Lord. He's our only hope. He is our only hope. Amen. To call out on God. Pray, fast, and call on God, because it takes Jesus to intervene. Amen. Praise God. When I read the book of Job, one of the things that stands out to me is that he prayed a hedge. Amen. He lived a hedge. He had a hedge around his home that protected him from Satan, that sheltered him, and Satan even admitted to it, I can't touch him. I can't touch anything that's his because you've put a hedge about him. Oh, thank God. Hey, man, church, can I tell you? Hey, man, that's what I want. That's what I want. Hey, man, I want to have that hedge. I want to have that shelter. Hey, man, I want to get my family together and get them into the hedge, hey, man, of God's protection. Hey, man, let the fire rage all about us. Let the fire overcome us and shoot and jump over the top of us. Hey, man, but oh, God, let me preserve my family. Let me preserve my family. And when I read about Noah, the Bible says, by faith he built an ark to the saving of his house. He didn't leave not one of his boys behind. He did not leave any of them behind. Amen. When the floods were coming, when there was when the judgment of God was coming, he was able to save his family. God, help us. Help us. Stand with me if you would. Help us today, Lord. Help us today. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. What about your family? What about your children? What about your grandchildren? Hallelujah. Do you not see the fire that is hallelujah, all around us? Hallelujah. All around us?
Oh God, everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Today,
everywhere.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Man, I tell you, if you're relying on your congressmen and your legislatures, I'm telling you today, they're not gonna be able to help you.
Hallelujah.
They're not gonna be able to. God help us.
Hallelujah.
I know it works. I know we can plead the blood of Jesus on our children, on our family. Amen. We can shelter them. We can save them. We can keep them. And if you have children that's lost today, can I tell you, you need to burn a hole in the fire. You need to burn a hole in the fire. You said, Brother David, can I do that? I believe we can. If you read the book of Jude, and you read there, it says, where Jude is writing, he says, as a brand plucked from the burning. Oh, yes. Amen. I believe that God can reach right in and pluck your child right out of the middle of the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the enemy seeks to destroy us, amen, I believe we can have a hedge. We can have a protection. We can have a shelter right in the middle of the fire. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of the fire. Praise God. Amen. The three Hebrew children, they found a protection right in the middle of the fiery furnace. Daniel found protection right in the middle of a lion's den. Amen. You can find that shelter. You can find that preservation. Amen. But I'll tell you, it starts with us, Mom and Dad. It starts right here with us. It starts right here with us. God. Oh God. I see the fire. I see the enemy. I see destruction. Hallelujah. When Wagner fell down in that hole, in that circle that he had burnt, he said that when he fell there, he tied that scarf, wet scarf, around his face, buried his face into the ground. He said he could hear the roar of the fire. He said trees around him were exploding. If you know anything about a forest fire, the tree gets so hot, the sap inside of it gets so hot that the tree actually explodes and blows apart. He said trees were exploding all around him. He said he could feel the heat, just an intense heat that was all around him. That fire was just burning everything around him, but it could not get to where he was at inside that burned out circle. Hallelujah. Lord, that's where I want my family. I may not be able to put the fire out, but I can get myself in a place where I can be sheltered and hedged in. Amen. I hear of families being destroyed and blowing up all around us. I hear of people that's our age, mine and Sister Ruth's age, with families that's given up on God and their family is blowing apart. I say, man, they've been married. Yeah, they've been married a long time, but they're giving up and it's blowing apart. I see young married couples all across the country. Okay, I hear of it all the time, and it breaks my heart. I hear, because it's the fire that's raging around us, I hear homes blowing up, okay? I hear all about it. I feel the heat of the situation and the day that we're living in, I feel that. But it all the more makes me want to protect my children and my family. Amen. I want every one of you that feel the same as I do today. Amen. I want you to come to this altar. I want you to come to this altar today. Amen. You feel the same way. God, I want to protect my family. I want to protect my family.
Till the walls come down.
I want to burn right now to step out and make
you ready
to this altar.
I can pray.